Well, go ahead and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're continuing our study of what we're calling mysteries of the Bible. If your handout you see at the top says Mystery Bible, part 6, the mystery of lawlessness. This is a special study. We're looking, of course, at the writings of Paul and some things that he calls mysteries. We already know that a mystery of truth that was not made known in the past but is now revealed. That's a biblical mystery. Ephesians 3:5 talks about that. It says this: in other generations, things were not made known to the sons of men, but has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit through his apostles and prophets. So it's powerful. We're seeing these different what we call mysteries. The goal is to understand them, fit them together, and be able to tell others. As I've got there for you, 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, we are stewards of the mysteries. That's why we need to know them, even though that they're not mysteries to us, because a lot of these things that weren't revealed in the Old Testament, they are revealed in the New Testament, and we know them. But we just want to be realize that we're stewards of that. This morning, we're going to see, I think, the hardest one to sort of explain. And when we go to the verses of 2 Thessalonians, I'll try to do the best I can. It's simple to put it together and say, here's what it is. But when you look at the verses, it's a little bit harder to follow it. And so we want to see how it fits together. This deals with the man of sin, lawlessness, the Antichrist, the basically the rapture. All of these things go together. This is called the mystery of lawlessness. And we'll see how it fits together. But we'll do that. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for each one who's here. What a great day as we've come together to worship our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that great song that we just sang. Thank you for your word that is perfect and true. Thank you for the mysteries that were not made known in the past but are now revealed. And so help us to understand them that we might be stewards of the mysteries of God so that we can help others know it. Lord, the goal in life is to be found faithful, and that's the key. Lord, we ask you that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all of us have seen that cartoons where some guy's standing there dressed like an Old Testament prophet, and he has a sign that says, the world will end tomorrow. And a lot of people have had that fear. They always say things like, you know, one of these days, you know, we're going to blow the whole thing up, and man shudders at the thought that there's going to be a nuclear war, somebody's going to release some kind of virus. But when you go to the Bible, realize there's going to be a great time of suffering. God will judge the world, and that last time it's called the tribulation. We've seen the details of that when we studied the book of Revelation. We studied Daniel, even when we studied Matthew 24:25, and even in a study that we did in Sunday school called End Time Events, we've looked at some of those things. There's going to be a great time of suffering, but that's not the end. In fact, after the kingdom, after Jesus Christ rules on the throne for 1,000 years, there'll be a great white throne judgment, and then there'll be a destruction of the new heaven, a destruction of this old thing, and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. And one of the key things associated with all of these end times is this thing called the man of sin or the Antichrist. He's the beast that rises up out of the sea. There's probably 18 different names that I used to have a handout that I would say names of the Antichrist in the Bible, and there were 18 different things. He's called the Assyrian. He's called the beast that rises up out of the sea, he's called the man of lawlessness and all of these things. Well, all of this, as I've got at the bottom of the page for you, the end time events and persons and the tribulation, the Antichrist, the kingdom, and all of that, that all comes together. In fact, if you turn to the top of the next page, we're going to see that this Antichrist, he's also called the man of lawlessness. If you want to write that in there, the man of lawlessness, he's also called the man of iniquity. And we also see that this mystery is sometimes called the mystery of lawlessness. It's sometimes called the mystery of iniquity, just according to how it's been translated. We come this morning to this one that we call it that, and there's a lot connected with it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Here's the way my Bible, it's the New American Standard, it calls it this. It says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So there's this mystery, a mystery which is called lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity. It has to do with the man of sin, the man of lawlessness. It has to do with the church. There's a lot of things that ties into it together, and we'll see that. Let me remind you of the mysteries that we've seen. We started with the mystery of the gospel, which was the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. And then we saw the mystery of Christ as God, that Jesus, of course, was God. That was not made known. The mystery of Christ indwelling, that Christ in us, the hope of glory, that was a mystery. The mystery of the church, being Jew and Gentile together. In fact, anything dealing with the church was a mystery because the mystery wasn't talked about in the Old Testament. The mystery of the church is the bride of Christ. That was the fifth one. The sixth one was the mystery of the rapture, which is what we talked about last time, and how that he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll tell you, a mystery will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. And that was a great one. Now, to this morning, the mystery of iniquity, or the mystery of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, we're going to see that one. And then next time, the mystery of Israel's blindness. And that's a really strange one, too. These last two are a little bit harder than some of the others, like mystery of rapture. We all know what that is and fit that together. But the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness, that's one we need to look at. Well, We come to that one, as you know, mystery is something not made known in the past, but now revealed. And as we said, these are not all mysteries to us. Now, we may have never been able to say, what is the mystery of lawlessness? We'd say, well, I don't know if I understand it yet, and I need to put it together, and then I can understand it. To do that, you need to go back to the Old Testament. Because this time period that deals with lawlessness and the man of sin is something that was revealed in the Old Testament. And I've got there for you Jeremiah 30 verse 7. You don't have to turn there. But in Jeremiah 30 verse 7, this time of tribulation was called Jacob's trouble. That's why I put it there. So Jeremiah 30 talks about the trouble coming upon to Jacob, and that's called the tribulation. Jacob's other name was what? Anybody know? It's Israel. So it's Israel's trouble. That's why when we did a study of end time events and the question came up of whether the church would be in the tribulation or not, we know that the tribulation deals with the nation of Israel and not the church. And the church is the mystery, the bride of Christ, which will be taken out, the rapture aspect. And so that's why this is revealed in the Old Testament, but it's not dealing with the church. Also, Daniel 9:24-27 is one of the famous passages in the Old Testament, giving the time, basically giving the time period from the time that the decree was given until the time of the Messiah. And then he talked even about this man of sin even there. So the Old Testament talks about this. Now, let me remind you of something, that it was no mystery that there would be this time, and there was no mystery that there would be an Antichrist. There's no mystery of that. So we say, what is this mystery of iniquity and lawlessness? I think it all ties together with the church, and we'll see that. And it ties together with the Holy Spirit, the church, the man of sin, the rapture, and all that's going to tie together. So as we look at 2 Thessalonians, I think you look at it and you go, wow, this is sort of hard to put together, and I think it is, but we'll need to see that as we go through it. Now, this mystery deals with tribulation, church, rapture, lawlessness, Antichrist, all of that. You have to go to 2 Thessalonians to find it, because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7 is where that verse is found. Let me give you a little background. I've got it on your sheet there, 2 Thessalonians 2 background. So you can write some of this down, or you can just think about it. The church at Thessalonica was going through great persecution. You remember Paul stopped at Thessalonica on his second missionary journey, led them to Christ. Later on, he writes 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Why did he write the letters? Well, let me tell you, here's what had happened. The persecution got really big in that church. I mean, there were a lot of Christians being killed in Thessalonica. Somebody started a rumor. The rumor was this: the reason this persecution's come upon y'all is you guys are in the tribulation. You missed it. The rapture already happened, and everybody's gone, and y'all got left behind, and y'all are in the tribulation. That was a rumor that was being spread. Paul heard about that, so when he wrote 2 Thessalonians, he wanted to remind them, wait a minute, the rapture hasn't happened, and you're not in the tribulation. And he wants to explain that. That ties into this thing called the mystery of lawlessness. Now, let me tell you, it's going to deal with the Holy Spirit and the church and the Antichrist and the tribulation time period. All this is going to flow together in what Paul called the mystery of lawlessness. Well, let's look at it. Verses 1 and 2, that background is they thought possibly they were in the tribulation. He writes them to say, no, you're not in the tribulation. Let's look at chapter 2, look at verse 1. He says, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. He says, that's the rapture. He says, now listen, let me remind you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. What do we call that? What do we call it? The rapture, yeah. He's talking to the believers into the church at Thessalonica. What happens when Christ comes and the believers are gathered together? That's what we call the rapture, when the church is taken off the face of the earth. See, it was a mystery. It's not a mystery now. And so he says, listen, let me remind you about the coming of Christ and our gathering together to him. Remember, they think maybe it's already happened. He says, no, let me remind you that you do not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Now, the day of the Lord is a special time period. It was found in the Old Testament. It begins with basically the rapture of the church being taken out. It begins with the start of what we call the tribulation and lasts all the way through the 1,000 years. That's called the day of the Lord. He reminds them and says, listen, y'all are not in the day of the Lord. You're not in the tribulation. You're not in that time period. He said, I don't want you to be all shaken up by either a letter or a spirit or a message. See, somebody had either written them or told them that the rapture had already happened and they were in the day of the Lord. They were in the tribulation time period. And he writes to them and says, I don't want you to be shook up. He says, I don't want you to be shaken from your composure or be disturbed by some letter or spirit or message, as if it was from us, because we didn't write it, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. It has not come. So he wanted, what if you knew somebody and that everything was going wrong and they said, well, we were told that the rapture came, we missed it, and we're in the tribulation. And Paul would say, no, that hadn't happened yet. I don't want you to get all shook up over this. It hadn't happened yet. What's going to happen? And when is it going to happen? What's the next event? The rapture. What's got to happen before the rapture happens? Nothing. It could come any second, just like that. And when the church is taken out, which we saw last week, we know that there will be this 7-year time period. There's the Antichrist is going to come to power. He's going to make a peace pact with the nation of Israel for 7 years. Halfway through that 7-year time period, he's going to claim to be God, put his idol up in the temple of Jerusalem, which is going to be rebuilt, and claim to be God. And there's going to be great tribulation throughout the world. At the end of that 7-year time period, Jesus Christ comes back with us and the Old Testament saints and sets up a kingdom. That's what's going to happen. They thought somehow they missed it. And so Paul says, listen, I don't want you to get all shook up. It hadn't happened yet. Now, as you continue on your handout, as you go to the top of the next page, the tribulation had not happened, and he's going to give them a couple of reasons. He's going to say it's not going to happen until two things. He says the day of the Lord doesn't begin until two things happen. Notice what he says. He says, let no one, this is verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. And he's talking about what will not come. Of course, the interpreters, if you notice, that's in what? In your Bibles, is that in italics? That will not come? That's because that's really not in there. All this says is, let nothing deceive you, for unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. See, he's saying, you're not in this thing. So the writers, the interpreters of this put down and said, let's say it's not going to happen until two things. Here's number one. Until the apostasy comes first. That's number one. The apostasy comes first. Apostasy, just A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y. Now, you're talking to a dyslexic, so I don't know if that's right or not. Was it right? Yes. Yes. I see it on my page, and I can almost read it. Apostasy. Okay, now. Oh, I got it up there. Okay, you can read it. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, here's the first one, the apostasy. Now, let me ask you something. When you hear the word apostasy, what do you think? Something bad, right? Like people move away from the what? Truth. That's what we think. We think of that. In fact, some Bibles translate it as what? Rebellion. That's a poor translation. The word apostasia means a departure. That's all the word means, a departure. He's not talking about moving away from the faith. He's not saying this is not going to happen until everybody turns away from God. He says it's not going to happen until the departure comes. What departure? Departure of the what? The church. Exactly. It's the rapture. See, a lot of people have misinterpreted that verse. They're saying that the end time comes and the tribulation comes when everybody turns away from the truth. That's not what that says at all. It just says, I want you, he says, let me put it this way. Let no one in any way deceive you, for unless the departure comes first. That's all he says. The departure. Apostasia means a departure. Now, you can say apostasia. Sometimes the word apostasy means to move away from the truth. We say, you know, he believed this and then he, moved away. But the word just means to depart. I think the best interpretation, we'll see in just a minute how it fits, is that he's talking about the taking away of the church. So he says, first of all, there's not going to be any tribulation until, first of all, the church is gone, and then what's the second thing? The man of lawlessness is revealed. Notice what it says. First, it says, not until the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Now, we know that in the timetable for the tribulation to happen, what two things are going to have to happen? Church is going to have to be what? Gone, and then the man of sin is going to have to rise to power, be revealed, because he's going to make the peace pact with Israel for 7 years. You can't have somebody make a peace pact with Israel if he's not revealed yet. So the two points that he makes is, listen, you're not in the tribulation, you're not in the day of the Lord, because before the day of the Lord is going to happen, you got to have the apostasy comes first, which means the church is gone, and then you've got to have the man of sin revealed. The Antichrist is revealed. That's the plan. And so he says, that's what's going to happen. So they're fine. Now, this we still hadn't got to this. We call man of lawlessness, but we still hadn't found the mystery yet. He goes on and describes to us what this man is like. It says, he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, I want to remind you that when we did the end time study, we said that at the start of the tribulation, the church is gone. The man of sin comes to power. He's revealed. He makes a peace pact with Israel for 7 years. He seems to be nice on the front end. And then as time goes along, he becomes evil. And halfway through, he claims to be God. He goes into the temple of Jerusalem. It says he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship. He takes a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That's what's going to happen. Now, he's reminding them and says, listen, none of that's going to happen until first the church is gone and this guy comes to power. So that he wanted to calm their fears and say, you're not in the tribulation. The church isn't gone and that man hadn't come to power. That's all he writes us for. But he keeps saying, he keeps talking about some things. Notice verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I was telling you these things? He taught him these things when he was there. If you've ever studied the book of 1 Thessalonica, the history of when Paul went to Thessalonica, do you know he wasn't there? He could have been there. He could have been there only 3 weeks. He may have been there just a little longer than 3 weeks, but he taught them all kind of end time stuff, because he told them that in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, how he taught them these things. I have people say to me, people don't need to know about the end time events. It's too complicated. That's the very first thing Paul taught them. He wanted them to know how things fit together. He wanted them to not be afraid. I've had Christians come to me and say, I'm just so afraid I'm going to go through the tribulation. I go, well, let me tell you, you're not. If you've trusted in Christ, your Savior, you're the church. Church will be taken out. And you could say, just like Paul, first of all, it ain't going to happen until the church is gone and the man of sin is revealed. Paul says, did you remember this when I taught you all this? Now we get to the hard part. So has everybody got it so far? Okay, now we get to the hard part. Huh? You know what apostasy is, yeah. It means departure, and it could be departure from the truth, it could be departure of the church, it could be departure of a train. Okay? It could be anything leaving. Okay. Now, for us to understand this, there are three key things. Let me put it up here. I think I've got them here. The who, not the musical group, the who, the what, and the results. Okay. What is wrong today? Anyway, okay, the big three. Now, let's talk about the who. I think I've got it right here. The who is going to be two persons. Now, I've got your little sheet. Opposite, there are two different who's we want to look at in this passage, okay? Second is the what. What's going on? What's the action? So you can write out the action and the result. And the result is the coming of the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness, or however how you want to put it. So we're going to see the who. There are two who's in the passage. We're going to see the what's going on, and we're going to see the result of it. And that's how I think we're going to tie together this mystery of lawlessness. So turn the page, and we don't have much time, so let me show you something. We'll go through it fairly quickly, and maybe I just have to may explain it, and then we'll go back and get it. But first of all, there are two who's here, okay? Let's look at the first who. The first who is found, and he's not even described as a who in verse 6. He's described is a what. Look at verse 6. And you know what restrains. I'm not even going to read the next word. He says, you know what restrains. Verse 6. How many of your Bibles say who? What restrains? Does it say what? It does? Okay. Now, look down at verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already work. Only he who now restrains will do so. There's a he and a what. The what and the he are the same person. He's called a what in verse 6. He's called a he in verse 7. So the question I have for you down there is, who is the one restraining? We'll come back to the answer in just a second. Everybody see that so far? Okay. Then there's another who that is there. And that's found in verse 6. Notice this. And you know what restrains him, so that now in his time he will be revealed. Who is this him, and who is he who will be revealed? So the second question is, who is the one being restrained? Now, as we look at this passage, we find that there is someone restraining and there's someone being restrained. You have any guesses on who this is? Yeah, exactly. Rick got right on it. Listen to this. Who is the one doing the restraining? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is the one being restrained? It's the Antichrist. Now, you remember the passage he's already said that this man of sin is not going to come to power until the church is gone and then he'll be revealed. The best we can understand, he's not revealed now because somebody's holding him back. Who's the one holding him back? Holy Spirit. Now, you may say, well, JB, why does it say, and you know what restrains him now? Why would it use what there? And then why in verse 7 was it a he? Because in the Greek, the word for spirit is a neuter word. And sometimes it's translated what instead of he. So I think that's the Holy Spirit. So the best that we can tell is the one being restrained, of course, is the Antichrist. The one who is doing the restraining is the Holy Spirit. And at the bottom there, I've got the Holy Spirit holds back the Antichrist. Okay, that makes sense? Read the verses. You know the one that restrains him now so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So what we find in the who is there's the who is restraining and the who is being restrained. The Holy Spirit is restraining the Antichrist. That takes us to the what, and that's the answer to the what. What's going on? The Holy Spirit is holding back the Antichrist, even to this day. Yeah, the lawless one. Yeah. I'm sorry. You have to go down to verse 8 to show that the lawless one will be revealed. That's the one that's being held back, the lawless one. I'm sorry. Okay, before we go any further, here's the little summary. The Holy Spirit is holding back the Antichrist until a special time. Now, that's the what at the bottom of the page. Now we go to the top of the page and the result. And here's what we find. Look at verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. What is already going on in this mystery of lawlessness? What's going on right now? Anybody know? The Holy Spirit's doing what? Holding back, restraining the Antichrist. What do you think is going to have to happen by what we've already read? What do you think is going to happen for the man of sin to come to power? The Holy Spirit's going to stop restraining, right? But anything else that we've read already in the passage? The church is going to have to be taken out, isn't it? Now watch. Here's the result. We're already at work. The Holy Spirit no longer restrains. Verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness already works. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So the Holy Spirit no longer restrains the Antichrist so that he is revealed. That's the answer there. And that's why verse 8 says, then the lawless one will be revealed. Now here's the hardest question to the whole thing. Because we see that the Holy Spirit is obviously holding back the Antichrist until a special time or until it says he is taken away. So my question is, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way? I think this ties into the rapture of the church. That's the next little blank there. Because you remember, what did Paul say would have to happen before the day of the Lord would come? Two things. What was it? Taken out of the church and the revealing of the man of lawlessness. Paul says that the Holy Spirit is holding back the man of lawlessness until a special time and until, it says, until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. When would the Holy Spirit be taken out of the way, so to put? When the rapture. Let me say this, and I got you, JJ. I'll get you in just a second. What a lot of people always thought, where does the Holy Spirit live right now? Inside of all the believers, and the believers make up the what? the body of Christ, the church. When the church is taken off the face of the earth, many people have always taught that the Holy Spirit goes. Well, let me say this. Holy Spirit is God, so He's everywhere. But speaking in a way, when the church is taken off the face of the earth, the Holy Spirit then removes His restraining influence on the Antichrist. Church is removed. Antichrist comes to power. JJ, question? You were going to answer the question. Okay. For real, or did you? Oh, okay, good. What was the answer?
Because the Holy Spirit goes with him.
Exactly, you got it. Good job. Okay. So, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 is the rapture of the believers. And the best that I can tell, now let me put it this way. That's why I've got a summary at the top of the last page. Ties into the rapture of the church. Is that the bell already? Okay, now listen to me. This is what makes it so hard. Here's the summary part. Here's the best that I can tell. The mystery of lawlessness, which is already at work, is this. There was this mystery that as long as the church was here and the Holy Spirit indwelling believers, the Holy Spirit was holding back the man of sin. And when the rapture of the church comes, which was a mystery already, when the rapture of the church comes and the departure comes, then the man of sin will be revealed, because the Holy Spirit, who has been holding back the man of sin, no longer holds him back. And it says in verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed. So the mystery of lawlessness, or the mystery of iniquity, is that the Holy Spirit indwelling the body of believers is holding back the Antichrist until the rapture of the church. And when the church is taken out, the Holy Spirit stops restraining the Antichrist and allows him to be revealed, and then comes the day of the Lord. Does that make sense? Is that good stuff or what? Is that incredible? That's all right there in 2 Thessalonians. It's just kind of have to get it out. And JJ, I knew you knew that already, didn't you? I mean, because you got it. Yeah. Yes. Good. Okay, let me give you the applications very quickly just so you can get it. Number one, understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit dealing with the end times. I think there's two things there. A, he's holding back the Antichrist. He is. Right now, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. He's holding back the Antichrist now. People always saying things like, I wonder when all this is going to happen. Well, the bottom line, it's going to happen when we're gone and the Holy Spirit quits holding back the Antichrist. B, stops restraining when the church is removed. I think that's the second aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I do not believe, some people teach, that the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth during the tribulation. I do not believe that. Because what happens during the tribulation? Does anybody trust in Christ? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, some from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Huge numbers of people believe. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings people to Christ. So the Holy Spirit's ministry is still working in the tribulation. So it's not that he's removed from the earth. He's just no longer restraining the Holy Spirit. The second application is be faithful to share. Because we know this. Listen, he could come any second. Jesus Christ would come in the clouds, the church would be taken off the face of the earth, and the Holy Spirit would stop restraining the Antichrist, and all of those things happen. And so we want to share our faith so people can know the truth and believe in Jesus, so that when the rapture comes, they'll go with us. Okay, questions, has the bell, a second bell already rang? Oh, it did? Okay, any questions or comments? Is that pretty hard stuff or pretty good stuff? Don't you love that? Now, the next one is the mystery of Israel's blindness. How could the nation of Israel, which from the very beginning of Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and they're always looking for the Messiah, they got all the information, they got all the truth, how could they miss the Messiah when he came? How could they be blind? We'll see it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for this whole truth that right now there's this mystery of lawlessness which is already at work, that while the Holy Spirit indwells us, at the same time he is holding back the Antichrist and that man of sin. And one day when the departure comes, the apostasy comes, and we're taken off the face of the earth, then the Holy Spirit will no longer restrain and the man of sin will be revealed. And then comes what they call, or what the Bible calls, the day of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. Thank you, Lord, that we as believers will be taken off the face of the earth when Jesus Christ comes. And we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, even now restraining the Antichrist. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.